Welcome to the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shaheed, and this is the podcast where we usually compare a film remake to its original source material. However, we have known to depart from that format from time to time. Today's episode is a similar departure, where we're going to actually review the recently released Bollywood movie Rais, starring Shah Rukh Khan, Nawazuddin Siddiqui, and Mahira Khan, directed by Rahul Tholakia. Everyone, so this is episode 25 of the Split Screen Podcast. Today's episode is going to be actually a straightforward review. I actually haven't done any review episodes before, so this should be interesting. Got a chance to check out Shah Rukh Khan's Rais that was released, I believe, yesterday, January 25th. So this is the show where we're going to be doing a quick review of that. I will initially do a spoiler-free review, but there's a lot to talk about with this movie. So later on, you will be amply warned, but there will be a spoiler-filled version near the end. So stay tuned for that if you want to check it out. If not, this is going to be mostly spoiler-free. So you can definitely still listen to this episode and then go watch the movie and not have anything ruined for you. So Shah Rukh Khan, Rais is essentially his first leading star role since Dear Zindagi, in which he was more support to Alia Bhatt that came out, I believe, last year. This is also after Dangal, I guess, for 2017. This is the first really big release. We're starting off the year with a Shah Rukh Khan movie, which is pretty cool, especially given that the movie is actually not that bad itself. Let's rewind. Let's kind of start from the basics here. So Rais is essentially a sort of crime drama featuring the title role character of Shah Rukh Khan, named Rais, who is essentially a bootlegger and a smuggler in the state of Gujarat, India, during a time of prohibition. The movie seems to be set in the 80s era. So there's a lot of big glasses, big collars, things like that. The story of the movie itself chronicles sort of the rise and fall of this character, of Rais, and essentially how he becomes this smuggler, how his life is affected by it, the cat and mouse game with the police, as well as essentially what ultimately, not a spoiler, leads to his downfall. The cop in the movie that essentially provides most of the conflict for Shah Rukh Khan's character is played by Nawazuddin Siddiqui. He's an obsessive, relentless police officer who, despite being transferred all over the place, hunts Rais down and essentially wants to take him down. He's righteous. You also have Mahira Khan, controversial Pakistani actress who was making her debut with Rais in Bollywood. Unfortunately, due to all the controversy regarding the Pak artist man, it seems like this might be her last movie in Bollywood as well, which is a little sad, but we'll talk about that a bit later. So that's more or less Rais in a nutshell. If you've seen movies like Vastav, or with Sanjay Dutt, directed by Mahesh Manjrekar, or if you've seen Mani Ratnam's Guru, starring Abhishek Bachchan, this is that vein of a movie. It chronicles the life, the beginning, middle, and other complexities of the life of this gangster, of Shah Rukh Khan's Rais. What drives him, what motivates him, the things that happen in his life, and essentially what happens is really the story. It's kind of like a life and times of this person. With that said, there is a lot in the movie which isn't perfect. But here's the thing about the movie. So my first reaction walking out of it is the fact that this is really sort of an 80s masala movie. Not only is the movie set in that time period, but the approach to the film as well, the approach to storytelling that writer and director Rahul Tholakia does, and the way he approaches the movie, is in a very 80s sort of masala way. There's a lot of elements of the movie that aren't the greatest, that are very like, huh? But at the same time, if you rewind your mind and think about movies from that time period of a similar genre, they have similar plot holes, they have similar sort of, you know, logic fallacies where you're kind of like, well, this could have been avoided if he just, okay, never mind. So Reese kind of falls into in that category. There's not a lot of that. There's one that is a bit glaring, in my opinion, which we'll discuss more in spoilers. But ultimately, these logic holes can be written off as being part of that era of movies. Not so much today. If you're watching this movie today, you're going, that's stupid. But if you have the mindset that this movie was made to be a movie, like a movie from the 80s, not just a movie set in the 80s, it fills in a hole. I know it's a cop-out, but what are you going to do? But overall, I enjoyed the movie particularly. In my actual written review, which will be a lot less ranty than this, which will be in the show notes, feel free to check that out, I did give it a 3 out of 5. I usually don't dabble in 0.5s. I do round numbers because math confuses me. So I gave it a 3. The reason why it's not a 4 is for all those elements that we will discuss in spoilers later, which prevent it from being a well-rounded movie. The reason why it's a 3 is it is fun. It's enjoyable. The pacing is very, very quick. There's not many things in the movie where you're kind of like waiting for it to progress or things that are boring you or anything of the sort. The action is pretty good. The story is pretty good. The writing is pretty decent. Character development could have been better, especially when you have a character like Raiz. But otherwise, I really enjoyed it. To me, this is Shah Rukh Khan's sort of return to serious dramatic acting. This is not a movie that typical Shah Rukh Khan fans might enjoy. I'm not sure. I don't want to pigeonhole anyone. But the things that Shah Rukh Khan's known for, there are elements of that in this movie. However, overall, it's not a kind of movie that people might like to see Shah Rukh Khan doing. They still played pretty safe. They could have gone a lot riskier. They could have done something like he did in earlier Baazigar and Dard days, but they didn't go that extreme, which I'm a little disappointed with. I wish it was a bit more graphic, a bit more hardcore. But ultimately, the movie starts off, again, in a very 80s sort of way, with you see a young Raiz and essentially how he grows up and the kind of values he learns as a kid to become this, you know, liquor smuggler. Obviously, there's a love story angle with Mahira Khan. Mahira Khan herself is really, she stands out a lot. This isn't a role that by any means is revolutionary. It's not groundbreaking whatsoever. If this role was done by a no-name actress, you know, debuting with this movie, we probably wouldn't have thought twice about her. She has there's a great dynamic between the relationship of Raiz and Mahira's character. I think her name's Asia. Not too sure. However, their relationship is a little bit different. There's a typical love story, Bollywood stuff, but there are elements where her character is strong-willed. She's not just like, I'm here for the song and dances, and then I'm gonna, you know, screw it off and do nothing for the actual serious parts of the story. She's not like that. You know, I'm thinking about Kareena Kapoor from Bajrangi Bhaijaan. But, you know, it's a good role, but she does a lot more with it. I personally felt like she made a really big impact. She has a different look about her. She's got a different sort of voice about her. So you remember her after walking out of the movie. It's not just like you don't realize who this person is or you kind of just become a blur in the other faces of actresses that are debuting every year. But she stands out. Unfortunately, again, like I said, sad that this is her last movie, most likely in Bollywood. On a side note, if you actually want to see more of Mahira Khan, I don't know about in America, but in Netflix Canada, there's a lot of Pakistani serials that she's been involved in, and if you actually go onto Netflix Canada, you'll see a bunch of them. They just came out, I think, like a couple of weeks ago, last year. She does one with Fawad Khan, so for all the Fawad Khan fans, you can see Mahira Khan, Fawad Khan together in a Pakistani serial. I've heard good things about it. I personally don't watch that stuff, but hey, if you feel like checking more out of Mahira Khan, go onto Netflix. Nawazuddin Siddiqui is surprisingly sort of like, I mean, he's essentially the comic relief of the movie. And I don't mean that to say that he's a comic character. He's not a funny character. He's not a goofy character. He's a very straight-laced, sort of morally righteous cop. But just the situation, it's a situational sort of comedy where he's very charming. It's amazing how this guy can go from menacing in Raman Raghav 2.0 to just being this charming-ass guy. In this role, and to the point where, like, if you think about the dynamic of the movie, you know, Raiz is obviously the good guy, Shah Rukh Khan's playing him, so you want to, you know, ideally we would be relating or rooting for him, whereas Nawazuddin Siddiqui is the cop coming after him. How dare you go after Shah Rukh Khan? But he's supposed to be sort of like the antagonist, but because he's so charming, because he's so good in what he does, and the fact that you can't really fault him for going after a criminal like Reyes, you can't really not root for him. It's kind of like, it's a very cool dynamic they have in the movie. And that's kind of one of the highlights of the movie too. Anytime that Shah Rukh Khan and Nawazuddin Siddiqui are on screen together, interacting, are kind of the, like I said, the highlight of the movie. Like, those are the scenes where you really kind of like scooch up on your seat and you're kind of leaning forward because you don't want to miss a minute of it. Their interaction for sort of like this cat and mouse, cowboys and Indians sort of a game, their interaction is very respectful. It's very sort of, you know, like kind of two equals in a chess match sort of a thing. There's no derogatory condescension. There's no, you know, he's an idiot, I hate him, I wanna kill him, or there's nothing like that. It's more of a, he knows everyone, they both know what the other person has to do, and they both know that they're kind of up against one another. But they don't underestimate each other, is essentially what I'm trying to say. A lot of that chemistry between them reminded me a lot of the chemistry that Amitabh Bachchan and Pran had back in the day, in the 80s, you know, coincidentally. I remember Zanjeer, or like these other movies that they've been in, where a lot of their dialogue buzzy and their scenes together was really sort of similar to that. That's kind of the vibe I got from Nawazuddin Siddiqui and Shah Rukh Khan. And again, it could just be the 80s movie vibe altogether that reminded me of it, but it was cool. It was really cool to watch. Some of the problems in this movie, I would say, is there's a lot of things that could have been done a lot better. Number one, the songs. As good as the soundtrack is, there's a lot of... Some of the songs don't really fit with the story in the context of this movie. When you're watching, you know, something dramatic and serious happen, and there's this charming moment between Mahira and Shah Rukh Khan, which is great. It kind of takes you away. I mean, it kind of gives you a break from the seriousness of the story. But then that gets, it goes a step further, and now all of a sudden we're in this, you know, choreographed song number, and you're kind of like, I feel like it kind of undercuts the rest of the weight of the movie, especially when from that song you go back to another sort of a serious moment, and it doesn't feel, it's not seamless. It doesn't feel like it should be there. I wish Reyes was a movie where you had a good soundtrack and their music videos released for marketing purposes, but I wish it was a movie that the songs weren't in the actual film. A lot of those songs really take you out of it. There's a sad song too near the end, which again is just so glaring and so blaring over the rest of the sort of atmosphere that it feels so forced, and it feels very typical and generic in a movie that shouldn't really have it. The other thing too, very minor, the other complaint I have with the songs too is that Reyes is very much a regional movie. It's set in, like I said, the state of Gujarat in India. A lot of dialogues, a lot of, you know, sort of common expressions are in Gujarati. And again, if the subtitles are on there, you don't pick up on them if you don't speak Hindi either. But if you kind of see, like, I don't speak Gujarati, but I understand Hindi. So when you're watching those scenes and they kind of say these things that even I have to refer to the subtitles, it kind of lends this authentic vibe to the movie. It kind of gives you a feeling of, you know, that, okay, I believe that these are Gujarati people in Gujarat doing their thing. So when you then have, again, really loud, commercialized, sort of poppy Hindi music come on over that in that setting, it really kind of pulls you out of the movie, I thought. So that's kind of the biggest thing that I had to kind of readjust my perception to kind of get back into the movie and then getting pulled out. Other than that, there's also some other things in terms of Shah Rukh Khan's portrayal of the character. Personally, I enjoyed it. I thought this was a really good character for him to do. However, I felt like I said earlier, they didn't go hard enough. There's a lot of elements in this movie. There's a lot of things where they do, you know, he's a criminal, but with a heart of gold, right? He's giving the finger to the man, but he's taking care of the common people, right? So they have that element in this movie. And it almost feels like it's kind of like this forced thing that they had to do to compensate for the negative and grayer aspects of the character. It felt like sometimes, like for everything he did that was morally questionable, there was like a significant amount of time spent on showcasing, look how amazing and good he is to the poor people. So, and that kind of felt a little bit, you know, beating over the head with it. So that was kind of a big thing. Like, I kind of wish that, and I talked about this, you know, a year and a half ago in an article I wrote, I kind of wish that if he was going to go criminal smuggler, and he in the movie he has a bit of a temper as well. There's some action scenes that come out as a result of it. If they were going to go that dark initially, I really wish that they stayed that dark and kind of didn't give him these redeeming characteristics, which is like, well, he, you know, does all these terrible things, but also does all these good things. So, you know, hero. So that was kind of the thing I had, the issue I had with that. There's also these kind of symbolic things that seem a little unexplored, especially when you think about a movie from the 80s that have huge parental themes. In the movie, we're shown that Reyes doesn't have a father, he was raised by a single mom. But that doesn't really impact his character development at all. There's also these other elements in the movie which are going to be kind of spoilerish. But when they happen, you kind of wonder that, oh, well, I thought this reflects on the fact that he didn't have a father, but they don't really touch upon that or mention that going forward or even after that ever. So those were a bit of kind of missteps. I feel like if Reyes was more of an indie film or like those sort of parallel art house movies, it would be a lot better. I feel like there's a lot of things in the movie they had to kind of keep very aware of Shah Rukh Khan's image and realize that we can't go this far off the reservation to alienate all of this section of his fans, or something like that. For him personally, I think it's a step in the right direction. I mean, if people hear the show, if you follow me on Twitter, then you know I'm not the biggest fan of Shah Rukh Khan, not because of unreasonable sort of, you know, things. I'm not just like, you know, Salman's better. But it's more of the fact that he has all this talent and it kind of goes wasted in all these roles that he does. His choice of movies are terrible. He picks roles really badly. I feel like he's kind of gotten this comfortable zone of appeasing his fans only without actually doing any quality work. Whereas Reyes seems to be a step away from that. Dear Zindagi was, I think, the first step away from that. His cameo in, spoiler, Ae Dil Hai Mushkil, was, I think, a little bit kind of in that direction. And he seems to be substantially increasing those departures, you know, a cameo in Ae Dil Hai Mushkil, you know, half the movie in Dear Zindagi. And now you've got a full-fledged role where it's not like anything we've seen Shah Rukh Khan do recently. It's not a complete departure. We've seen these roles from Shah Rukh Khan before, but recently, I'm going to say maybe in the last 10 years, it's not been this kind of a role. Another big complaint with Shah Rukh Khan usually is that his off-screen persona, his larger-than-life Bollywood star status, kind of bleeds into almost every character he plays. Every character is grandiose and cool and badass, and the camera, you know, pans up from the bottom up to give him this larger-than-life stature. And every character has this image that Shah Rukh Khan mirrors in real life. Which is why a lot of Shah Rukh Khan detractors have really a hard time, you know, kind of believing the character over the actor. And their dislike of the actor also bleeds into the, you know, the perception and their like for the movie and the character that he's playing. And I believe in Reyes, I think, is where he tries to correct that. Because, and don't get me wrong, Reyes is a character in the movie that is larger than life. He is egotistical. He's arrogant. He screws up. His arrogance and pride get the better of him in a lot of situations. But when you watch the first half of the movie, the character earns it. Shah Rukh Khan's portrayal of him as a badass, as an arrogant person, as someone who's letting what he does go to his head, they're very much earned throughout the course of the movie. In the beginning, he does start off as, you know, a nobody. He does start off as someone who's having to salaam other people, seniors, you know. He's on the bottom of the barrel in terms of the, you know, the crime bootlegging industry goes, and he has to work his way up. So during this working his way up, he's got people, and even when he gets to the top, there's still other people above him, like politicians, who he has to kind of bow his head down to, who screw him over, who victimize him. He's always kind of, he's like a pawn in a chess game of other people, which is a character that Shah Rukh Khan usually doesn't play. Shah Rukh Khan usually plays characters that are, you know, they are the alpha dog, right? They are like, it doesn't matter what happens, he's the hero, he's the badass, no one can get the better of him, and if they do, it's for a short amount of time because he will come back with a bang. And those are always the situations that Shah Rukh Khan's characters find themselves in. This movie is completely contradictory to that. He's not the top dog, he's not the alpha dog in the story. He tries to be, but there's a lot of other factors at work, and I feel like, just like we talked about when we were talking about Sultan, one of the things I liked in Sultan was how self-aware Salman Khan was about himself, and the fact that he played a role that mocked his age, mocked his physical fitness. You know, there's a scene in Sultan where he sees himself as a fat guy and just breaks down emotionally, and we mentioned that that's a very kind of sign of the actor being aware of his status in the industry, and playing to that, playing to the fact that these are things that are legitimate concerns about him, and how the character responds to that. And I feel like in Raiz, Shah Rukh Khan's doing something very similar. He's aware of the fact that he hasn't played a role, because of his status in the industry, he hasn't played a role where he gets to be not the most important character on the screen. And I don't mean in the sense that, you know, there's other actors who have more significance. I'm talking about even as a lead actor, his character is important because we're watching his movie, but his character isn't the most powerful on screen, you know, in the story. And Raiz is that. No matter how badass the promos make him seem, it is not that. He is not the alpha dog. He does have to bow his head a lot. And I like that. I enjoyed that I see Shah Rukh Khan doing that. And what's weird, too, is when you see Shah Rukh Khan in Jab Tak Hai Jaan or even Dilwale, and he does the, you know, the flashback roles where he's younger and then he's older. In the flashback roles, he always, like, you know, is clean shaven and, like, his hair's on his face to make himself, quote unquote, look younger. And he looks terrible in those scenes because it's like, dude, we know you're old. Like, this is just sad. And then in the, you know, older scenes, he has a beard now, so therefore he's older. Get it? Beard means old. Whereas in this movie, he sports kind of a beard, a full-on beard, like stubble, like the almost entire movie. And it's more convincing that he's a young guy falling in love, trying to build his business. That aspect is more convincing, even in a beard in this movie, than all those other movies where he tries to be like this young guy in a leather jacket and I'm clean shaven. See, that means young. So that is a testament of kind of how this movie is really different from what he does, because he didn't have to do any physical changes to make himself, you know, look old. And it was all body language. It was all his sort of performance. It was all his way of speaking to certain characters who, you know, were, you know, more larger than life than him, that he had to respect, that he couldn't talk down to. I mean, there were some changes in his hairstyle, but it's not anywhere close. The one prop that he had for character development throughout the movie were his glasses, almost a symbol of him, you know, prospering in life. His glasses changed from like shitty to like cool specs, so that was kind of funny, but it's kind of cool too. So overall, I did enjoy Raiz. I liked it a lot. Like I said, it doesn't get a 4 from me. It is a 3 out of 5 movie. It is something I recommend for people to watch if you are interested in seeing a version of Shah Rukh Khan that you only hear. I mean, if you're new to Bollywood, if you've seen his older movies, you know, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, then this is an example of the kind of thing Shah Rukh Khan could do, that he is capable of doing. Any sort of shortcoming on the part of the story and any shortcoming on the part of the movie itself, you can attribute to the director. But if you just look at his performance, it is pretty good, and it is progressively, you know, grandiose. And that's what I meant when I said that his larger-than-life off-screen persona does come into play in this movie, but in this movie, it's earned by the character. It's not Shah Rukh Khan who's being bigged up because this is his lead movie, so the director, writer, DOP, and everyone's trying to make him this cool image of what he is off-camera. It's more that the character is this badass, larger-than-life person who has become this person, and Shah Rukh Khan is playing that arrogance through the character, not mirroring his own status of, you know, off screen in the industry. That's, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how I took it. So I do recommend this movie to people if you want to watch Shah Rukh Khan, how he was back in the days. I mean, a bit of an example of how he was in those days. This is definitely something that you will enjoy. Something different. If you're only a fan of Shah Rukh Khan's romantic stuff, this may not be the best sort of movie to watch. Watch the music videos of him and Mahira. Those are kind of the bulk scenes where that happens a lot of the times, but yeah, I mean, it's an all around entertainer. It's pretty family friendly, I want to say, except for some minor blood and gore. Other than that, no cussing, no swearing. It's pretty family friendly. Which again, I wish there was some swearing. I wish there was some sort of, you know, Anurag Kashyap vibes to this movie. I don't think I'm not. I'm okay. Hold on. Before you like tweet the crap out of me with rage. I'm not saying this is a movie Anurag Kashyap should have directed. It would have been a completely different movie if this was an Anurag Kashyap movie, which I don't think I would want that movie. I'm just saying if there were elements to this movie that kind of gave you those aspects of an Anurag Kashyap movie, of a crime, sort of gritty crime drama where you're in the gutter, you're on the streets, there people are swearing, things like that, I think it would be a bit better, personally, in my opinion. But I understand how they didn't want to do that because they wanted to keep it family friendly. They wanted to appeal to audiences, which again I keep coming back to. I think that's kind of the only misstep with this movie, that they tried to package it for mass appeal. They didn't, with at the expense of the quality of what the movie could have been, in hindsight. That's my only kind of gripe with the movie that I keep coming back to. But other than that, again, like I said, I recommend it. Shah Rukh Khan's good. Nazim Siddiqui is amazing. Mahira makes an impact. The other supporting characters are you know, kind of good in what they're doing. The story moves really fast. It's a long movie, but it moves quick. There's no, like I said, there's no meandering. There's no loitering of scenes. So definitely check it out if you can. It just came out yesterday. It's in theaters this weekend, opening weekend. And obviously it's going to be in theaters for a while, I'm hoping. Check it out. And let me know what you guys think. Tweet at me. I'm on Twitter at The Shah Shaheed. This ends the spoiler-free version of this episode. After the jump, I'm going to give you all my information now so you can follow the show and follow me on Twitter and everything else. However, if you don't want to be spoiled, you know, after the music is when I'm getting into spoilers. So if you don't want to be spoiled, if you want to save the movie and you want to watch it for yourself, you don't want to know the details of what happens, who does what, who dies, who kills whom, yes, people die, then don't stick around. You know, get my contact info, go follow me on Twitter. You can find us. The show notes for this episode with my review and my other articles on Raise, you can find at www.blankpagebeatdown.com. The show itself, you can follow us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Please subscribe to the show. Give us a rating and a review. Let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know what you want to see, what you hate, what you love, so we can just kind of, you know, package the show a bit better, which is kind of what I accuse the Raise of doing right now. But you know what? Screw them. You can follow the show itself on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at The Shah Shaheed. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. That's basically everything. So again, give us a like, give us a review rating. I hope you enjoyed this show. If we get a good response, I'll definitely keep doing more reviews of all the movies I watch, the new releases, so you guys can kind of see if it's something you want to skip or keep watching. For everyone else that wants to stick around for the spoiler-free discussion of Raiz, do stick around. That's coming up right after the jump. All right, so spoiler time. This is the part of the show where we're going to get into pretty specific spoilers about Raiz. I know I watched the movie. I know they call him Raiz, but I always felt like it was Raiz, the pronunciation of it. As far as I know, the word means wealthy. So I don't know if it's just kind of like a double meaning word, but I always thought it was Raiz. But then in the movie, everyone's like Raiz, which is weird. So, sidebar. So spoilers. So this is the part of the show we're going to talk about spoilers for the movie Raiz. I'm going to talk specific beginning, middle, end. This is your last chance to get the hell out. Or go watch the movie and then come back and be a part of this conversation. There's a lot of details I want to get to. So if you haven't seen the movie, this is your last chance to pause the show, go watch the movies in theaters, come back, and listen to this part of the show. So once again, spoiler. You say that enough times and it kind of loses meaning. Spoiler. Okay, I'm done. Okay, so let's recap from the beginning. The aspects of the movie that I personally didn't like. So, number one is with Raiz's, you know, moral code that we see develop in the beginning of the movie, right? His mom has that line where she says, there is no big or small business, and there is nothing, there's no, you know, devotion or religion that's beyond business, I guess is a loosely translated expression. Essentially what she's saying is there's nothing, you know, you don't differentiate between business and religion. That's kind of what her religion is, working hard, you know, running a business, doing work, And that's the kind of morality she's instilling in her son, that there's no kind of work that's above you or beneath you. Work is work, and work is bigger than the biggest ideology that you could have, which is your religion. Work is bigger than that. That's kind of what she was trying to pass on to her child. He obviously took that and ran with it in a totally opposite way of, you know, nope, every business is right business, illegal or otherwise. Her one stipulation, though, to kind of protect her son is, you can do any kind of work you want as long as it doesn't hurt others. As long as it's not causing harm to others, you're good. So, in the beginning of the movie, we're treated to the fact that, you know, Raiz is getting into smuggling of liquor, but he's not getting into the smuggling of locally made liquor, which is known to be, you know, chemically, you know, impure, ends up killing people. He's only going to deal with the imported stuff. So, and then right after in the beginning, because the first question you ask is, with that stipulation of, hey, you can do whatever you want as long as people don't get hurt, we see people getting hurt in the movie. There's reports of, you know, 140 people dying from, you know, bad liquor, locally made. So you go, oh, but the liquor business is harming people. But then he differentiates again. It's like almost like we're being consoled that no, he's following the code. Only imported liquor. No one will die, but, you know, addiction, lives ruined, family destroyed. That stuff is fine. And it's kind of weird that the movie doesn't really deal with any of that. Like, as moral, you know, the moral code that he has only kind of seems limited to people dying or, you know, that's it. His moral code doesn't apply to quality of life or, you know, all these other things that come with, you know, alcohol and addiction and stuff like that. But, you know, I just thought it was kind of weird that you're in the illegal business of transporting liquor to whoever, anyone. Those liquor are being sort of parties where, you know, God knows what else is happening. People are, you know, abusing liquor and doing who knows, God knows what else. And you're a part of that world. You're supplying that thing that makes people lose their senses and do who knows what, but you don't consider that causing harm to others. So his moral code is obviously a little loose right off the bat. But the thing that gets to me is, at the end of the movie, basically the climax comes as the fact that in his desperation, I mean, there's a point in the movie where he essentially loses everything. He took a lot of people's money that he can't now repay, hardworking, lower middle class people, he can't repay. So in his desperation, he ends up taking a job of smuggling gold into the country from, you know, some other country. And mixed in with that gold was a specific type of explosive that caused these terrorist attacks that he essentially helped facilitate unknowingly. So his entire sort of career comes crashing down. He realizes what he's done and he goes, oh my God, what have I done? This is terrible that I did this. And, you know, he essentially turns himself in and, you know, spoiler. Well, I'm again, if you're listening to this, this is all spoiler. At the end of the day, at the end of the movie, he turned himself in and essentially gets killed because he's too big of a criminal to be left alive. He knows too much, so he gets killed. So my problem is, this is his transformation that happens in the third act. He realizes that, oh my God, I helped kill all these innocent people in a terrorist attack by, you know, helping smuggle in the explosive that killed them, even though I didn't know about it. So he's so broken out by the fact that innocent people died. But the thing that gets to me is, he's murdered people throughout the movie. Straight up, brutally, close quarters, murdered them. He cut a guy's jugular with his glasses. He stabbed people. He shot people. And nowhere during that time was his moral code ever in question. Like, I don't know what loose definition of hurting people or causing harm to people, you know, he goes by. But when you're straight up murdering people, like, I have a feeling that would be where you would draw the line. But again, like, the only explanation I have for that is, I guess it's kind of something that, you know, in the 80s movies, there is this morality in Bollywood movies. I mean, even to some extent today, when, for example, the parallel I can draw is Batman v Superman, where people were all up in arms that Batman was gunning people down and running people over with his Batmobile, and they're like, Batman doesn't kill, Batman doesn't kill, and people were losing their crap. In Bollywood, this is very common, but the logic seems to be that because they're bad guys, they're henchmen, or they're unnamed assailants, you know, not really characters, they're essentially not people. So they're there to kind of, you know, make the hero look badasser, make him look better, show off his action moves, things like that. He dispatches them easily, of course, but their lives don't matter. And everyone seems to be okay with that, because again, in 80s movies, you know, the good guy is super righteous, super moral, super ethical. You know, he, life is sacred because God, but then he will literally straight up kill all these people without a second thought. And it's never mentioned, there's no struggle, and that's exactly how Reyes is. This thing would be one way that it should have been improved, because if you're drawing the line and not harming others, that's the general dialogue that was used, not causing harm to others or not hurting others. You know, killing someone is harm. So, fine. People can say, but those were henchmen, who cares? Those were just random extras that got killed. No one gives a shit about them. But what about the fact that Atul Kulkarni's character in the movie is the guy that essentially gives him his start into bootlegging, into liquor smuggling? When Ray's a little boy, he gets work from him because he's the guy that sells imported liquor, so, you know, lesser of two evils somehow. So he works with him, and he works with him since he's, what, like 10 years old up to where we see him, where he's probably like, you know, in the movie, supposed to be maybe, let's say, mid-20s. Early 30s, so you're looking at maybe 15-20 years of him working with this one guy who supported him, giving him money, giving him jobs. He's like his right-hand man, but he straight up kills him. And yes, there's remorse, yes, there's an emotional connection he feels right before he kills him. He's tearing up, he's crying, blah 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 blah. But he does kill him, he does feel remorse about it. But that's the other thing, you're gonna have him kill someone who was so close to him, who gave him all these opportunities, and you're going to have him feel emotion for him. Understandable. But they didn't develop that throughout the movie. Because Atul Kulkarni's character, we only see twice. In the first scene when Ray's a little kid, and right cut to the scene where Ray's all grown up, and he asks him for help, and Atul Kulkarni is basically like a bitch to him. He basically just is threatened, tells him off, doesn't help him at all. And then those are the three times that we see them together. But those are the only two times we see them on good terms, or what starts off on good terms and then becomes sour. So it's kind of like, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna create a situation where the hero has to reluctantly kill someone he's really close to, because that's what he's been driven to do. You know, he's a reluctant hero, so he has to do it. He has to kill, you know, not because he wants to, but because circumstances. And then you're going to have him get emotional right before he pulls the trigger. And then you're going to have this amazing scene afterwards where, you know, blood's on his face. He's washing it off. He's very hurt and remorseful for what he did. That's great. But then you got to develop that relationship, which the movie doesn't do. Like I mentioned earlier, the movie doesn't develop these other relationships that Reyes is supposed to have with people. Clearly, there's a story there. This guy raised him more or less for 15 years of his life. He doesn't have his own father. This guy must have been the only thing closest to a father figure, and he has to kill him. That moment, there's no payoff in that scene. There's no, when he hesitates, and Shah Rukh Khan, Reyes, hesitates, and he's tearing up, and I'm not even tearing up, he rolls a tear. He's visibly, you know, upset that he has to kill him, but then he pulls the trigger. There's a great dramatic scene, blood splattering on his face. It's amazing. It's a great scene. But there's nothing that makes that scene impactful. There's nothing prior to it. There's nothing setting up their relationship that makes that scene a powerful scene as they intended it to be. And that's a common theme in the movie. The relationships between the people in the story, except for Sadiq, who's his right-hand man. I forget the actor's name. He was in a bunch of other movies too. Except for his relationship with Ray's relationship with him and Mahira Khan, none of the other relationships are as well developed. There's this guy, he does these things, he's a great guy, he has a crazy temper, which is again something they keep coming back to, but they don't really give us any sort of understanding behind what's going on in his head, which I think is a massive misstep for the movie. And yeah, I mean, there's also a scene, I mean, these parental themes also carry over into another aspect where Mahira Khan's pregnant. And she asks him, her way of announcing to him that I'm pregnant is, hey, what did you call your dad? And his reaction is, well, I call my dad. And he makes a joke and goes, I call my dad, dad. What else, stupid? And it's a funny scene. It's a lighthearted moment. But that's the only reference of his father in the whole movie. There's no mention of he died, or there's no mention of he ran away, he left us, he abandoned him. Nothing. So we don't know why his mom was a single mom. We don't know where his dad was. We don't know this really important building block of his personality. that's just missing from the story. Especially because in that scene, she asks him, the reason why she asks, what did you call your dad, is because she says, well, how would you feel if someone called you dad? Because, and or wanted to call you a father or something. And he gets all happy. She's implying that she's pregnant. He gets all happy. They have this huge celebrity moment. But there's no payoff to that because, again, you didn't develop any sort of thread of his relationship with his father. So him becoming a father would be really meaningful if we knew his daddy issues, basically. Especially because in the rest of the movie, too, you don't see this kid. This kid's born. They have a party for him. And there's no, this kid being in Ray's life has no impact whatsoever to him, or seemingly the mom, because we only see the kid with her twice or something. So it's very weird. Also, the timeline for the movie is very weird, because we don't know how long everything happens in. He changes his glasses, which it really doesn't give you an indication of what's going on. He doesn't seem to get older. His beard length is very inconsistent. Sometimes it's light stubble, sometimes it's a full-on beard. So you're kind of like, I don't know when this is happening, but everything, so much stuff happens, you're assuming that, holy shit, it's been maybe a year or a couple of months or maybe a few years of all this happening. But then you see the kid, there's a scene where they're having his birthday, he looks this one way, and then all this stuff happens, and almost in the third act, you see the kid again, and he looks unchanged, maybe a couple of weeks older, a couple of months older. But you kind of go oh, has it only been a month since all this shit's been going on? So it's a very kind of disconnected timeline in that sense. But other than that, again, like I said, this is kind of where I go off about the spoilers and stuff like that. But I definitely think the whole moral code thing was a big sort of glaring, I don't want to say error, but, it's something that I can't write off by saying, oh, it's a movie based on the 80s, so they're going to have that stuff. But yeah, that's kind of one thing that made me go, all right. And that's why it doesn't go from a 3 to a 4. Like I said, I gave this movie 3 out of 5. So that's basically everything for this episode of the Split Screen Podcast, episode 25. This has been a review of Rays. Like I said, this was the spoiler version. If you came in the middle, the first part is the non-spoiler version. Feel free to check out my actual review on this movie, the written version, which is a lot more articulate, less rambly. You can find that on the show notes, which will be on blankpagebeatdown.com. Subscribe to the site. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music, and definitely leave me a review rating. Let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know how you liked it, any suggestions, improvements, whatever you guys have. Feel free to get in touch, and thank you so much for listening.